Today we'll begin the sixth chapter. Up till now, the author had treated the first two ultimate realities, citta and cetasika, in different ways. And the first chapter deals with citta, the second with cetasika, and also cetasika and citta combinations. And the third chapter deals with different classifications of citta. And the fourth deals with thought processes and during lifetime. And the fifth chapter deals with 31 planes of existence, karma, and then thought process at death and rebirth. So two of the ultimate realities have been treated in some detail. And so this chapter deals with the remaining two ultimate realities, rupa and nibbana. And this chapter is called Rupa Sangha Vibhaga. That means chapter on matter. Although nibbana is also treated in this chapter, but it is treated very briefly. So this chapter deals with what is called rupa or matter. And the first section deals with the enumeration of rupa, or how many rupas are there. And then second section deals with their classification. And the third with the causes of rupas. And the fourth, their organization into different groups. And the fifth, their modes of occurrence. That means when they first arise and when they last arise and how they arise and so on. And then as a conclusion to this chapter, the author dealt with the fourth ultimate reality, which is Nibbana. Now, the Pali word for matter is, as you know, rupa. And rupa is defined as something which becomes deformed or disturbed or knocked about or oppressed or broken when coming into connection with adverse physical conditions such as heat, cold, hunger, thirst, bites of insects, etc. So the simple meaning of rupa is something that changes, with heat, cold, and so on. And Buddha himself explained this term in one of the discourses, and there he said, why do you say material form? Or why do you say it is rupa? It is called rupa because it is deformed, therefore it is called material form, and so on. And deformed by what? That means changed by what? Changed by cold, by heat, by hunger, by thirst, by flies, by mosquitoes, wind, sunburn, and creeping things. So something that changes is called rupa. Now here, you may ask, why don't we call citta and cetasika rupa? Because they change more quickly than rupa changes. But here, change means the evident change, change that is discernible. The change of mental properties, the change of citta and cetasika, is not so easily discernible. But the change of rupa is easily discernible. And so change here means the change which is evident, which is easy to see. So only matter is called rupa and not citta and cittasika. And change here really means the arising of a different continuity of material properties than the previous one. So change here does not mean one rupa changes into another rupa. Actually, change here means there is a series of material properties at one moment, and then at the next moment there is another continuity of material properties. So the arising of the continuity of different material properties is what is meant by change here. So change does not mean that something changes into some other thing. Because if you take that way, and we may be supporting the idea that something lasts for some time or something lasts forever. So change here means just the arising of a different set of material properties. And the material properties or rupas are said to be 28. So there are 28 rupas, 28 material properties. And they are shown in the chart. It is in the manual also, in this book also. So in here I gave both Pali and English. And in the book, English only is given and not Pali. So there are 28 material properties. And these 28 material properties are divided into different categories or different classes. Now first, the material properties are divided into two groups or two classes. The first is Mahabhuta, and the second is Upadarupa. It's not in the chart. I followed the chart in the book, and so I forgot to put that. So Mahabhuta and Upada. You can find the word Upada in the book on page 235. About the middle of the page, the Pali passage is there. Chattari Mahabhutani Chatunancha Mahabhutana Upadaya Rupam. So depending on that, we call it Upada Rupa. So there are 24 Upada Rupas. So 4 Mahabhutas and 24 Upada Rupas. Now Mahabhuta is translated as great essentials. And this is not a literal translation, but I think it is a good translation. Great essentials. Mahabhuta means something that becomes great. They are the basis of all material properties. And all other material properties depend upon them to arise and to exist. So they are called Mahabhutas. The great essentials. And they are one, Patavi Dhatu, earth element. 2, Apo Dhatu, water element. 3, Tejo Dhatu, fire element. And 4, Vayo Dhatu, air element. So, 4 elements of 4 great essentials. Now, Patavi Dhatu, earth element. Now, here, earth element means not the physical earth, but some quality inherent in the earth. Some quality. What is a quality? What quality do you find in the earth? So when you touch the earth, you feel hardness or softness. And that hardness or softness is what we call patavidhatu, or earth element. This is called patavi because it is like the earth. The earth is the basis for, say, trees, mountains, and so on to exist. So in the same way, the patavidhatu is the basis for other dependent material properties. So that is why it is called patavidhatu. So it serves as a support or foundation for the coexisting material phenomena. That means other material properties, especially the upada rupas, depend upon it to arise. If there were no Mahabuddhas, then upada rupas will not arise. And the earth is extended. Therefore, some take the extension to be the characteristic of patavidhatu. Although it is the extension is taken as a translation of patavi, its characteristic is actually hardness. So when we get hardness, we also get softness, because hardness and softness are relative. In comparison with one thing, you call it hard, but you compare it with another thing and it becomes not so hard, or it may become soft. So hardness or softness is the characteristic of the earth element. And Abhidhamma teaches that this earth element can be found everywhere. In the water also, there is earth element. In fire also, there is earth element. In the wind also, there is earth element. So in everything we see, every material thing we see, there is this earth element. So in water also we see we find earth element. Now second is apodhadu, water element. Here also apodhadu does not mean water, but the inherent quality of water, and that is fluidity or cohesion. And its characteristic is said to be trickling or oozing. That means dripping or something like that. And it is because of this apodhatu that things are kept together. If there were no apodhatu, we cannot have these things. We cannot have this book or this pen or whatever, because the material properties will not stick to each other if there were no water element. So water element is something that keeps the material properties together. And with regard to apodhatu, we should note that according to Abhidhamma, apodhatu cannot be touched. So in the book you find that the Abhidhamma holds that unlike the other three great essentials, the water element cannot be physically sensed, that means cannot be touched, but must be known inferentially from the cohesion of observed matter. So you see something and the material particles are attached to each other, and so we infer that there must be some kind of cohesion here, some kind of apodhatu here, so that it exists as a pen. So apodhatu or water element, according to Abhidhamma, cannot be touched. So when we come to the Poddhabha Rupa later, say we will see that apodhatu is excluded there. Now, we must understand apodhatu as distinct from Abo, I mean, water element as distinct from water. We can touch water, right? Although we can touch water, we do not touch water element. We touch water and say, oh, it's cold or it's hot. So the cold or heat is the third one, Tijotadu. And you may feel the hardness or softness of water, and that is earth element. So what you feel is not the water element, but earth element or the fire element in it, heat or cold or softness or hardness. So Abodhadhu is said to be untouchable. The next one is Tejodhadhu, heat element or fire element. Here also, heat or cold, it's relative. So the Tejodhadhu does not mean fire, but the quality that is in the fire, and that means heat or temperature. So actually temperature is what we call Tejodhadhu or fire element. Because just like softness, both hardness and softness are called Patavidhadhu, here also heat and cold are called Tejodhadhu. Yesterday, I talked to one woman in Arizona because I'm going to Arizona on Thursday. So I asked her, I heard that they had 120 degrees. So I asked her whether it is too hot, and she said, oh, it is cooled down. I said, how many degrees? 106 degrees. So for us, 106 degrees is very hot, right, here who live in San Francisco. But for them, it has cooled down. So Tejodhadhu is relative. Heat as well as cold is called fire element, Tejodhadhu. And the last one is Vayodhadhu, air element. And air element means not air, but something that inheres in air. That is here said to be the principle of motion and pressure. Its characteristic is distension. When you put some air into the balloon, then the balloon becomes extended. Right? So that extension or distension is what we call Vayodhadhu. So it has the nature of movement, or motion. So when we move something, we can say that there is abundance of Vayodhadhu. Because of that abundance of Vayodhadhu, we say there is movement. Actually, there is no movement at all. Nothing moves. What we call movement is material properties arising at different moments. One set of material properties disappears, and another set of material properties arise. But they may arise at a very small distance from the one that has disappeared. So we are not able to see the real arising of material properties. But when we see the material properties arising and disappearing at different places, very close to each other, we say that there is motion, there is movement. Now, you can take the movie film as an example. So on the frames, there are pictures. They are not moving. The picture is not moving. But the picture in one frame is just a little bit different from the picture in another frame. So if you make a step, then it may take, say, 30 frames, say, to record one step. Then there will be 30 images, 30 frames on the film, and each frame is just a little bit different. And when that is put in the machine and what was shown on the screen, we think that the picture is moving. Actually, the picture does not move. Okay, now the Vayodhatu air element is has a nature of movement, and its characteristic is said to be distension, expanding. Now, these four great essentials are like founded upon the earth element, held together by the water element, maintained by the fire element, and distended by the air element. All these four elements we find everywhere. So extension, cohesion, and then heat and distension. Now, Tejodhatu heat is explained as to mature or to ripen. That means when there is heat, things become cooked or things become mature. So it is said to ripen other material properties. Okay, these four are the basis of the all other material properties that follow. And so all other material properties that depend upon these four for their arising are called upadarupa. Upadarupa is translated as derived material or derived matter. But I don't like that translation. They are not derived from the four material, four great essentials. They depend on the four great essentials. For example, this is a house, and people live in it. The existence of people living here is supported by this house. People depend upon this house to live. But people are not the result of this house. People do not derive from this house. But this house is their base, their support. Here also, the following material properties are not the result of the four great essentials. They do not derive from four great essentials, but they depend on these four great essentials to arise. If there were these great essentials, they could not arrive. So they are called upadarupa, and I would call them dependent matter. And there are 24 of them. And they are organized in groups. So the first group of them is called Pasada Rupa. And they are translated as sensitive phenomena. Pasada really means clear. The material properties that are clear are called Pasada. But clear here means sensitive to the sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. So they are called sensitive phenomena or sensitive matter or sensitivity. And they are five. And you know these five. Chakku Pasada, eye sensitivity. Now, the eye itself, let's say eyeball, is not Chakku Pasada. Chakku Pasada is some material property that exists in the eyeball, that exists, say, on the retina. And those small particles of matter are what are called eye sensitivity. The eyeball is called composite eye. So there are two kinds of eyes, composite eye and sensitive eye, we may call. When a visible object comes into the avenue of the eye, you know that it strikes at the eye, right? So it strikes at the eye means it strikes on the eye sensitivity, on the matters that are called eye sensitivity. And then they produce, and then the seeing consciousness is produced. So when we say eye or eye sensitivity, we mean the sensitive particles in the what is called eyeball or the composite eye. The same with other sensitivities. The second one is sota pasada, or the first one is chakku pasada, eye sensitivity. The second one, sota pasada, ear sensitivity. Now, here also, the whole ear is not called ear sensitivity, but the sensitive material properties that are in the inner ear, actually. So in the commentaries, it is explained as to be found inside the ear hole, in that place shaped like a finger stall and surrounded by fine brown hairs. That's pretty accurate, right? In the ear, there is something like a ring. So, finger stall. What is finger stall? I looked it up in the dictionary, and one dictionary says that means something like a cover on the finger when you have a wound or cut on the finger. Something cover, maybe. But actually, the word here is said to mean just a ring, finger ornament. So finger ornament means a ring, so like a ring. So in the inner ear, you see something like that in medical books also. So that is what is called sota pasada. So I would say finger ring rather than finger stall. And finger stall is a difficult word. I have to look into three dictionaries, and I found only in one of them. So that is inner ear sensitivity. The third one is ghana pasada, nose sensitivity. Nose sensitivity is to be found inside the nasal orifice in the nose itself, as the substance that registers smells. Now, Bhikkhu Bodhi doesn't give what it looks like, but in the commentary it is given, and it is said that it looks like a hoof of a goat, an animal, a goat, hoof, the foot of a goat. I mean, something like that. So there are two orifices, and so maybe at the end of the nasal orifice, it's like something like this. So it is where smell is picked up. So that the material properties in that place are called ghana pasada, nose sensitivity. And then the fourth one is jihwa pasada, tongue sensitivity. And tongue sensitivity is to be found diffused over the tongue, serving to register tastes. So when you know taste, that means that the taste material property has come into contact with the tongue sensitivity. And here also the commentary gives an example, and it is the tip of the petals of a lotus. There are petals or leaves, the flower leaves of lotus, so the tip, so maybe a little pointed. So the places on the tongue here and there, where these sensitive materials, material properties exist, is called tongue sensitivity. And modern medical science says that there are different places for experiencing different tastes, right? Sweet is experienced in one place, and then sour is experienced in another place, and so on. They differentiate many things. So those are called tongue sensitivity. And then the last one is kaya pasada, body sensitivity. Body sensitivity extends all over the organic body. So body sensitivity exists all over the body, on the whole of the body, like a liquid that soaks a layer of cotton. So suppose there is cotton, and then you put some water on it, and then water is soaked. I mean, the cotton is soaked with water. That means it covers, it, what do you call it, suffuse? Huh? So it covers all the cotton like that. So, and it serves to register tactile sensations. So whenever we know touch, whenever we experience touch, that means the tangible object has come into contact with the body sensitivity in our bodies. Now, it extends all over the body, but except the tip of the nails, and then tip of the hair, and then maybe dried skin. So when the skin becomes dry, you do not feel anything there. You can cut it without getting pain. So except those places, the body sensitivity extends all over the body. So these five are called sensitive phenomena, or pasada rupa, and they correspond to five sense consciousnesses: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, and body consciousness. They serve as the base for eye consciousness and so on, right? In the third chapter, the last section deals with what? Vattus, right? Bases. So there you have chakhu base, sota base, gahana base, jihwa base, kaya base, and hadaya base. So chakhu base and chakhu pasada are same. And sota base and sota pasada, same, and so on. We'll come to hadaya vattu later. So these five are called pasada rupa, sensitive material properties or sensitive phenomena. The next group is called gochara rupa or visaya rupa. Gochara means domain, a place where one roams about. So that in brief, it means an object. So gochara rupa means objective phenomena, material properties that are objects, of the eye sensitivity and so on. So corresponding to the five sensitive phenomena, there are five objective phenomena, or there are five gochara rupas. The first one is called rupa, visible object. Now, what is visible is called rupa. And what we see is only rupa. Well, when I say I see a man, I really don't see a man. What I see is the visible object in that what is called man. But my mind deceives me into believing that I see a man. Actually, what I see is just the visible objects, particles of visible objects all over the body. Now, the word rupa, please note that it has at least two meanings, even in Abhidhamma, right? Generally, rupa means material property, in contrast to nama. But here, when it means visible object, it is different. Although the word is the same, rupa. So it's very important when you read books on Abhidhamma. You have to understand whether the word rupa means the general, the material property in general, or the visible object. So here, rupa means visible object. What you see. And the second one is sadda, sound. You know what sound is? Sound or noise. And the third one is gandha, smell. And the fourth one is rasa, taste, something we always experience. And the fifth one, a number is not assigned to that, because the fifth one, pottabha, or tangibility, is the combination of three great essentials. So the combination of patavi, tejo, and vayo, the combination of earth, fire, and air elements, is called pottabha. So there is no separate pottabha rupa. There is no separate tangible matter. So when we say tangible matter, we mean the combination of three great essentials, which are patavi, tejo, and vayo. Since apo cannot be touched, it is not tangible. So apo is left out here. And this may make some confusion when we enumerate the material properties, or when we find out how many material properties are there and so on. So we have to be very careful, because if there are four great essentials and also there is pottabha, then we are not to take double the number. So we must take only the four. Only the three. So these five material properties are called gochara rupa, or objective phenomena. So that are objects of the five. So rupa is the object of what? Eye sensitivity. Sadda is an object of ear sensitivity and so on. And tangibility, or pottabha, is the object of body sensitivity. Actually, they are object of consciousness, right? Actually, not object of sensitivity, but object of consciousness. Now, you know the five pasadas, and you know the five objects. Corresponding to these five pasadas and objects, there are five pancha vijnana, five sense consciousnesses. So, sense consciousness, chakhu vijnana. Chakhu vijnana arises when these two meet together. These two come together. These two means eye sensitivity and visible object come together. Or when the visible object comes into the avenue of eye sensitivity. So when something to be seen comes into the avenue of our eyes, then there is seeing. So seeing consciousness depends on at least these two, right? The eye sensitivity and visible object. So it depends on these two to arise. But there are more conditions, right? What are the other conditions? Light. And attention, right? And so on and so on. The body consciousness arises through conjunction of or through coming together of tangibility and body sensitivity. Next group is called bhava rupa, sexual phenomena. Or we may call it gender. The first one is itti bhava or itthatta. There are two words for this, itti bhava or itthatta. Actually, they mean the same thing. Femininity, being a female, or the state of being a female. And another next one is pumbhava or purisatta, the state of being a male, masculinity. Now, these are also called faculties. When we study the 22 faculties in the 7th chapter, we'll find that these two are included there. So these faculties of femininity and masculinity, these have the characteristic of the female sex and of the male sex. Their function is to show femininity and masculinity. That means, femininity and masculinity cannot be seen. What we see is not femininity and masculinity, but something that shows us that it is a male or it is a female. And they are something like the mark or sign or work or ways of female and male. That means the sexual structure of the body. So the structure of the body of men and women are different. So you know that a person is a man or a woman by looking at the structure of the body. And then for its feminine or masculine features, now you look at a face and you know that it is a face of a man or a woman. You know, men have mustache and all these, and women have no mustache. And then for the typical feminine or masculine occupation, that means maybe women do some kind of work and men do another kind of work. And in our books, it is said that we can know how they play when they are children. But girls play with pots and pans and so on, cooking and so on. And boys will play with bows and arrows or some other things, right? So boys never play with pots and pans or cooking. That is in our countries. But in this country, everything can happen. Men have to cook in this country. And also the feminine or masculine deportment. That means how they walk, how they sit, how they do things. By looking at it, you know that this is a man or this is a woman. Even say in say dim light, even if you cannot see clearly, you can know that, oh, this is a man, this is a woman, by looking at how they walk, how they do things. So there is this difference between men and women. And this difference is known by their masculinity or femininity. So that is called masculinity, femininity. So that is actually not visible. What is visible is, see, their structure, their features, their occupations, the manner of their playing, and also their deportments. And it is said that the bhava-rupa also extends all over the body, not just in one place. Like a body sensitivity, it extends all over the body. That is why you look at the finger and you know it is a man or a woman, right? Nowadays it's easier because then they have colors here. Okay, now we come to next. Hadeya Watu. Heart. A heart phenomenon. Heart base. So, we met heart base in the third chapter, right? In the section on bases. So the heart base is a characteristic of being the material support for the mind element and the mind consciousness element. So the heart base has the characteristic of being the material support for the mind element and the mind consciousness element. Do you remember mind element and mind consciousness elements? Mind element means manodhatu. How many types of consciousness? Three. Right? You can show them. Panchadvara vajana and two sampadichanas. Right? Yeah. They are called mind element. And mind consciousness element means the other jhetas, except this is the 10 sense consciousnesses. So except the 10 sense consciousnesses and 3 manodhatus, the remaining others are called in Pali manovijñanadhatu. So the heart base serves as a support for manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu, or mind element and mind consciousness element. Its function is to uphold them, or to act as a receptacle, to act as a basis for them. It is to be found in the dependence on the blood inside the heart. So it stays on the blood, not the physical heart is called Hadeya Watu here. So it is found in dependence on the blood inside the heart and is assisted by the 4 great essentials and maintained by the life faculty. So with regard to this Hadeya Watu, there's a lot to say or to argue, right? So Hadeya Watu does not mean the heart itself, but something, some material property that exists depending on the blood in the heart. And this Hadeya Watu is not mentioned in Dhammasangani. Now, Dhammasangani is a book where all Chedas, Chedasigas, and Rubas are mentioned. It is the first book of Abhidhamma. So as the first book of Abhidhamma, when it describes Cheda, it must describe all Chedas, and all Chedasigas, and all Rubas. But in that book, Hadeya Watu is not mentioned. So in that book, there are only 27 material properties. Okay. Now, the commentaries reason for the existence of Hadeya Watu. First, you look at the list also, the list of the material properties also. So their argument is given on another sheet. Manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu, when they arise in karma sphere and rupa sphere, when they arise in karma vajra and rupa vajra realms, must depend on rupa. Rupa here means matter. Just as chakku vijñana and others depend on visible object and others. That rupa cannot be the four Mahabhutas, because they are dependent upon by ubhara rupas. Therefore, that rupa must be an ubhara rupa. Now, the teachers are giving you reasons for accepting the existence of Hadeyavatu. So, there are Manodhatu and Manovijñanadhatu, right? If they arise in Kama Vajra sphere and Rupa Vajra sphere, they must depend on some rupa. If there is no rupa to depend on, they will not arise. Just like the chakku vijñana depends on the visible object and also on chakku vattu. But that rupa which they depend upon cannot be the four essentials. Because they are dependent upon by ubhara rupas. They are already dependent upon by ubhara rupas. They have to serve as a basis or the support for ubhara rupas. And so the manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu cannot depend on four essentials. Now it is something that like a law of elimination. We eliminate one after another. And so we come to the last one and then we just pick it up. So when it is said that manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu must depend on some matter if they arise in kamavajra and rupavajra realms, then we will ask, do they depend on the four great essentials? Then the answer is no. Why? Because they are dependent upon by 24 ubhara rupas, and so they cannot serve as a basis or support for hadiyavatu, for manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu. Okay. Among the ubhara rupas, then there are 24 ubhara rupas. Can they depend on chakhu, eye sensitivity, and so on? No, because eye sensitivity is a support for seeing consciousness and so on. So they cannot depend on the five sensitive material properties. Then can they depend on visible object? Neither can they depend on rupa, sadda, and so on. Because they, that is, rupa, sadda, and so on, can be found externally too. Rupa is found externally, right? Internally as well as externally. So the pen I see here is external rupa. Say that the hand I see here is internal rupa. So they can be found externally. So manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu cannot depend on rupa. The same with sadda, sound, smell, taste, and tangibility. Okay. Now, what about bhava? Do they depend on? Do manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu depend on bhava rupa? The answer is no. They cannot depend on the two qualities of sex either, because these dhatus arise also in those who have no sex qualities. That means who are neither men or women. There are some people, sexless persons. So manodhatu and manovijñanadhatu arise in those persons also. So So Mano Dhatu and Mano Vijnana Dhatu cannot depend on two sex qualities. Okay. What else? Do they depend on ahara? They do not depend on ahara. For the same reason that it is found externally too. Ahara can be found externally also. It should therefore be understood that there must be some other rupa on which these dhadus must depend, and that rupa must be a dependent one itself and not a Mahabuddha. So there must be some rupa which Mano Dhatu and Mano Vijnana Dhatu must depend. And that material property must also be an Ubhara Rupa and not Mahabuddha. And that dependent one, which is the state of these Dhatus, is none other than the Hadeya Vatu. So this is arbitrary. The first arguments are good, but the last one, the conclusion, is arbitrary. So it must be the Hadeya Vatu. So there is Hadeya Vatu. The reason why it was not mentioned in the Dhammasangani. Now there is a question: if there is really the Hadeya Vatu, or if Hadeya Vatu really exists, why is it not mentioned in Dhammasangani, where all material properties are mentioned? And the answer is, what's that? If it were mentioned there, the uniformity of presentation of the Vatu Dukkha and Aramana Dukkha, so important for the understanding of the doctrine and the realization of truth by listeners, would be broken and thus defeat the very purpose of the doctrine, that is, the realization of truth by listeners. Now, you have to go to Dhammasangani to understand this. In the Dhammasangani, especially in that section, the Vatus are mentioned two at a time. I mean, not two at a time. What do we say? In two ways. Right? So it is said there is Rupa, which is the base of eye consciousness, and there is Rupa, which is not the base of eye consciousness. And this is called one dyad. And then the next one is, there is Rupa, which is the base of ear consciousness. There is Rupa, which is not the base of ear consciousness. So in this way, the Rupa is treated in that section in the Dhammasangani. So the dyad number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are okay. There is Rupa, which is the base of body consciousness. There is Rupa, which is not the base of body consciousness. Because you can point out the Rupa, which is the base of body consciousness and which is not the base of body consciousness. Can you point out? Yes. So there is a Rupa, which is the base of body consciousness. What is that? Kaya Pasara. Right? And there is Rupa, which is not the base of body consciousness. All other rupas, right? So you can find out the rupas mentioned in these sentences. Okay, now we go to Aramana dyad. That means by object. There is Rupa, which is the object of eye consciousness. Can you point that out? Yes. What? Number 10, right? Rupa. There is Rupa, which is not the object of eye consciousness. Yes, all others. Right? Okay. the second, third, fourth, and fifth the same. So let us go to the fifth. There is rupa, which is the object of body consciousness. Which? Pottabha. Right? Pottabha is the object of body consciousness. There is rupa, which is not the object of body consciousness. All others. Right? Okay. Suppose the diet for what do you call that? The sixth diet were to be made. Then the sixth diet would look like this. There is rupa, which is the base of mind consciousness, manovijnana. There is rupa, which is not the base of mind consciousness. Can you give can you point them out? There is rupa, which is the base of mind consciousness. We can say it is hadaya, right? There is rupa, which is not the base of mind consciousness. The other bases, right? It's okay. Now we come to aramana diet. There is rupa, which is the object of mind consciousness. Yes, there are many, right? Okay. There is rupa, which is not the object of mind consciousness. No, nothing there, right? So the diet is broken here. Now these two are not actually in the Dhammasangane, right? That's why the heading is given as probable sixth what to do diet. That means if we are to make the sixth diet, it would look like this. So what to do, guys? All right, right? Because you can point out the rupas mentioned in the sentences. But when we come to aramana dukkha, we are broken. Because there is answer to only the first one, right? There is rupa, which is the object of mind consciousness, or all chetas, chetasika, rupa, and so on. But there is rupa, which is not the object of mind consciousness? No. So there is no answer to that question. I mean, we cannot point out anything as an answer to that question. So the diet would be broken. So if the diet were broken, then the listeners would be agitated. And so they may not follow the teachings of the Buddha, and they may not gain realization of truth. So in order not to make them agitated, The Buddha left the hadaya vatu out of the list of material properties in Dhammasangane. Are you understand? Right. So that is why it is not mentioned in Dhammasangane. Now, even if we say the Abhidhamma teaching is a very exact teaching, and it is the It does not take into account whether people like or not or something like that. But still, the purpose of Buddha's teaching is not to show off his wisdom, but to help people to realize truth, but to help people to gain enlightenment. So, if Buddha were to mention hadaya vatu in Dhammasangane, then he would have to say these diets, probable diets also. And then the diets are not all complete, and one is broken. So when the flow of the teaching is broken, the understanding of the listeners may be affected. So in order to save them from getting confused or whatever, the Buddha did not mention hadaya vatu in Dhammasangane. Not because it does not exist, but because if it were mentioned in Dhammasangani, it would not help listeners to get realization of truth. That is why it is not mentioned in Dhammasangani. That is one question, right? Okay. Then where it is mentioned? If it is not mentioned in Dhammasangani, where it is mentioned? And the answer is what? In the Patthana, the seventh book of Abhidhamma. But we are not out of trouble yet. Although it is said that Hadiya Vatu is mentioned in the Patthana, when we go to Patthana and actually read it, we do not find Hadiya there. There, Buddha used a very general term for Hadiya Vatu, something like that. Depending on a certain material property, Manodhatu and Manovinyana Dhatu arise. Just that. So depending on certain material property. Buddha did not say depending on Hadiya Vatu. But the teachers, commentators, take that to mean Hadiya Vatu. And their argument is like, say, Mano Dhatu and Mano Vijana Dhatu must depend on some material property and so on and so on and so on. So however much we explain, we are not altogether out of trouble. why is it not mentioned in Dhammasangani? Well, because Buddha wants to keep his flow of teaching smooth. Okay, then where it is mentioned? It is in the Patthana. But we don't find it in Patthana. We find just a general statement there. but the answer is, oh, that means Hadiya Vatu. So it is arbitrary. Then why did the commentators interpret like that? Say, although Hadiya Vatu is not mentioned by name, either in Dhammasangani or in the Patthana. I think it is because when you are happy or when you are sad, you feel something in the heart, in the chest, right? And when you are afraid, then you have the, what do you call, the pounding of your heart. So people took that the consciousness depends on heart base or depends in the chest. And also the word hadaya, like the heart in English, means chaitao. Or hadaya is a synonym for chaitao also. And in English also you use the word heart for mind, right? Say he has a good heart or something like that. So it is, I think it is, in the olden days, it is universal that mind depends on heart. Only recently, maybe, say, 100 or so years ago, that they say mind, the brain is a state of consciousness and so on. So we cannot say which is more reasonable. Because even now they are not quite sure yet whether consciousness really depends on the brain. So they are still in the experimental stage. So we cannot take sides. Or we may take sides with our ancient teachers. So we take the heart to be the material properties that depend on the blood and the heart to be the seat of Manodhatu and Manovinyana Dhatu. And on this sheet, the description given in the Visuddhimagga is also given here. There is only one thing I want to say about this, because in that passage, I think there is a mistake. support of the mind element and for the mind consciousness element, its function is to observe them. I don't think it is correct. So I think its function is to be their base or their receptacle. The Pali word is adharana, and it cannot mean observe. And Bhikkhu Bodhi doesn't say observe in the guide. So what did he say there? Its function is to uphold them, right? I think that is a correct translation. Okay, hadiya watu. And then, what is next? Jivita rupa, life phenomenon. You also, you have met jivita indriya as a chetisika, right? So it is the counterpart of that chetisika. So the chetisika is called mental life faculty, and this is called physical life faculty. Jivitendriya. It maintains the cognizant material properties. So it arises with other material properties and it maintains them. That means it helps them to exist, say, as long as they exist. So the life faculty has the characteristic of maintaining the coexistent kinds of matter at the moment of their presence. Its function is to make them occur. It is manifested as the establishment of their presence. Its proximity causes the four great essentials that are to be maintained. Now, there is a question. If Jivitendriya maintains other material properties, what maintains it? Jivitendriya maintains others. So what maintains it? And the answer is, it maintains itself also. And the analogy of a boatman is given in the commentaries. Now, when a boatman takes other people to the other shore, or just rows the boat to the other shore, he takes himself also to the other shore, because he is connected with the boat. So in the same way, life faculty is connected with other material properties that it maintains. And so, along with them, it maintains itself also. And then, ahara rupa, nutritional phenomenon. That means some nutriment in what we eat, or actually it is everywhere. Now this nutriment is found externally as well as internally. And then, these are 18 that are called concretely produced matter, or in Pali, Nibbana Rupa. So there are 18 Nibbana Rupas, or concretely produced matter. Concretely produced matter means produced by the four causes of matter. In the third section, the four causes of matter will be treated. So those that are the direct products of these four causes of matter are called Nibbana Rupa. That means they are real rupas. They are substantial rupas or something like that. And they are also called Sabhava Rupa. Matter possessing intrinsic nature. So they have their own characteristics. Intrinsic nature means own characteristics. Because each type has a distinct objective nature, such as hardness in the case of earth element, etc. And they are also called sa lakkhana rupa. Lakkhana means mark, sa means together. So that means those that are together with characteristics. Now here, characteristics means what? The three general characteristics of impermanence, suffering, and non-self. And also we can say they have the three characteristics of arising, present, and disappearing or death. But the others, beginning with limiting phenomenon, are not like that. So only these 18 are called sa lakkhana rupa, those which have characteristics of their own. That means impermanent and so on, and also arising and so on. And they are also called nibbana rupa, concretely produced matter, because they are directly produced by conditions such as kama, citta, utu, and ahara. And they are also called rupa rupa. That means real rupa. So when you repeat something, you make it emphasized, right? When you want to emphasize something, you repeat it. So here, rupa rupa means the rupa which is real rupa. So they are the real rupa, and the others are unreal rupas. The other 10 are unreal. So they are real rupas. So they are called rupa rupa because they possess matter's essential characteristic of undergoing deformation or change. And also they are called sammasana rupa because they are to be made the objects of insight contemplation by way of three characteristics. You understand that? You're meditators, so you must understand. That means you can practice vipassana on these 18 only, and not on the other 10. Because these 18 have the characteristic of impermanence and so on, right? And when you practice vipassana, you try to see these three characteristics. So in order to see these three characteristics, you must watch, you must make notes of these 18 and not the other 10. So not the other 10 are not the object of vipassana meditation. So they are here called sammasana rupa. Sammasana means contemplation, right? So that lend themselves to contemplation. And the contemplation here means vipassana practice. So these only, out of the 28, these 18 rupas only are the objects of vipassana meditation. So you can practice vipassana on these 18 only and not on the 10 that are called anipana rupa. Okay. So look at the chart again. 28 rupas, right? And they are divided into 4 great essentials and 24 dependent. In Pali, 4 Mahabhutas and 28 Upada Rupas. And then Upada Rupas are again divided into Pasara Rupa, sensitive phenomena, and then Gojara Rupa, objective phenomena, Bhava Rupa, sexual phenomena, Hadeya Rupa, heart phenomenon, Jivida Rupa, life phenomenon, and ahara rupa, nutritional phenomenon. So we are not finished yet. There are other groups too. And these 18, beginning with Mahabuddhas, are called nibbana rupa, concretely produced matter. That means matter that are produced by the four causes: kama, citta, utu, and ahara. Okay. We'll do the remaining next week.